Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, welcome C3 Bridgman Downs. And if you're new today, joining us for online church, we love having you with us. Because today, we are one church today that is in hundreds of locations. We're one house, but we're actually in many homes. And so wherever you are today, I want to encourage you. That's exactly where God is this morning. And I'm believing today that as we gather around the Word of God, as we hear His Word, that God's actually going to move in your life in a powerful way. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit, He's there with you today, and that God is going to speak to you, that God's going to encourage you, that God's going to help you, and that God's going to cause you and I to live in a place of victory and faith and overcoming in life. And I want to remind you today, that's exactly what the Bible says about you and I, that we are overcomers in Christ. And so today, what I'd love to do is I want to share with you a message. It's a simple message, but I believe it's a very powerful message. It's a message that you and I can take into our life, we can take into our week. And this message is really about what you and I can do in life whenever we feel anxious, or whenever we feel discouraged, or whenever we feel helpless, or whenever we're not sure about what we should do. And I was thinking about, you know, great stories that you and I can have in our life. And one of the great things about being a dad is that you get to have some pretty incredible moments with your kids and some quite pivotal moments in their life as well. And I was thinking about one of our kids, our youngest, whose name is Sienna. She's 10 years old and she's a beautiful girl. But one of the things we noticed about Sienna's personality from the time she was really young was that Sienna was also a very competitive soul. And she never liked to lose. It didn't matter what we were doing or what we were playing, whether it was board games or whether it was swimming in the pool or whether it was any kind of sport or activity. I know Sienna's attitude to life could be summed up like this. If you came second, you were the first of all the losers. And so that's Sienna's attitude to life, is that she pushes herself to win. And so a couple of years ago when Sienna was 8 years old, she was training for a cross-country race at school, and she'd put in a lot of work and a lot of training and a lot of effort for this, with a determination, I know, in her heart to win that race. And the week before the cross-country carnival at school, unfortunately, Sienna got quite sick. She was battling with a case of croup, which affects your ability to breathe and certainly affects your ability to exercise. And so through that week, she'd been battling through it and started to come out the other side. But she was still carrying some of the after effects of it when she went to run the cross-country race at school. And I went to watch her and, oh man, she tried so hard. She pushed herself so hard, but she couldn't quite achieve what she knew in her heart, what her best was. Or her best place on that day. And she ended up coming somewhere in about the middle of the pack. And to say that she was disappointed would have been a massive understatement. And we went back home and nothing seemingly cheered her up. But I remember when she was at home that as she was walking around, all that Sienna could do was just keep her head down. Her head had dropped. Her eyes had gone down. And she couldn't look anywhere except for the floor that was in front of her. In fact, I'm pretty convinced of this, that if Sienna's chin had dropped any further, I'm sure it would have been dragging along the floor as she was walking around. She was discouraged and she was disappointed. And how many of you know when you're a kid, you don't generally mask your emotions all that well. When we get older, we have an ability to be able to just put on a good face or put on a brave face and just go through life. But generally, in most times, kids will wear their emotions. And that's what Sienna was doing. She was disappointed and the head was down and her eyes were down. And I was thinking to myself, man, how do I shift this for her? And so what I decided to do as she was walking up and down the house like this, obviously discouraged and obviously disappointed, was I went, okay, I'm going to stand in front of her path. And so as she was walking along, I stood in front of her and I made her stop her walk. And then I just bent down to where her eye level was. And as I reached down, I just put my hand underneath her chin and I got her head and I just gently lifted it up so that she would be looking straight at me. And then when I could see that her head was lifted and when I could see that her eyes were focused on me, I just began to speak to her. And I just said, Sienna, I am so proud of you, sweetie. You did an amazing job today in that race. In fact, I'm just so impressed, darling, that you even made it to the starting line today. And I'm incredibly proud that not only did you get to the starting line, but you finished that race. That was probably one of the most gutsy and courageous things that I've seen you do. You're amazing. And then from behind my back, I also whipped out a lolly and I gave it to her. And what was amazing about that, it actually worked. And rather than walking off with her head down, she walked off with her head lifted up high. And her demeanor had changed and her perspective had changed in that moment. And what I came to understand was simply this, was that what I needed from Sienna as her father in that moment was that I needed her to stop looking down and I needed her to start looking up. Because as her father, I wanted her to take her eyes off the problem and I wanted her to shift her focus on me so that I could begin to speak to her and so that I could change her perspective. And did you know the Bible says that's exactly what God our Father wants to do for us? In the book of Psalms, chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "But you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and says he is the lifter of my head." You know what God says? God says, "I want to help you lift up your head." You say, "Why does God want to help lift up my head?" Here's why. Because God wants me to take my eyes off my problem and he wants me to put my eyes on him. And I believe that for some people here today, and you're watching this stream this morning, and God is here today and he wants to lift up your head. He wants you to lift up your eyes so that you will look up and that you will see him. Because something powerful happens the moment that we begin to look up. See, here's the thing. When we look up, we see God. When we look up, we see his character. When we look up, we see his promises. When we look up, we see his help. We see his answers. In the book of Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, "I lift up my eyes." In other words, I look up. I've made a decision in my life. That's what the psalmist is saying, that I won't continue just to put my eyes down. I won't just focus on the problems, on the issues that are all around me. He says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills." And he asks this question. He says, "From where does my help come from?" And then he answers that. And he says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." You see, when we look up, when we shift our focus from the problems, from the challenges, from the issues that are around us, and we put our eyes on God, what begins to happen is we begin to see more clearly God's character. We begin to see more clearly God's promises. We begin to see more clearly God's goodness towards us. And so today, I want to share with you three things that happen. And I believe there's three very powerful things that happen when you and I make that decision in our day, in our life, to begin to look up. Here's the first thing. When you and I look up, we see God's purposes. One of my favorite stories in the Bible would be the story of Joseph. It's found in the book of Genesis. It's an epic story. It's filled with hardship. It's filled with betrayal. It's filled with triumph. And what we see in Joseph's story is, it starts as a young man and he's mistreated and abused by his brothers. He's ended up actually being thrown in a pit. He's sold as a slave. He ends up working for a guy by the name of Potiphar in his house. From there, he's wrongly accused. He's thrown in a prison. And finally, towards the end of the story, we see Joseph and he's promoted to the palace. He actually becomes the two-eyed seat of Pharaoh, governing all of Egypt. And he steers this nation through a time of great, great famine. And there comes a point in this story where Joseph, after many years, he has this reconciliation moment with his brothers. And in the book of Genesis chapter 50, it shows us what Joseph says to his brothers. But more than just what he says is we see Joseph here. And I believe that at this moment that Joseph was able to look up. That he wasn't just focused on the problems that were around him, the hardships that he was experiencing. But in this moment, he looked up. And when he looked up, he could see the purposes of God. This is what he said to his brothers. He said, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people's lives." In other words, what Joseph was saying was, the enemy had an agenda in my life, in our nation, around our community, and his agenda was to bring evil. It was to destroy lives. It was to wreak havoc. It was to bring famine. He said the enemy had an agenda, but God, he had a plan. And God's plan was to bring good. God's plan was to save lives. God's plan was to heal and to deliver and to set people free. And I love the two words that Joseph uses right in the middle of this statement. They're two words I believe that can build faith in us right now. They're two words that can fill us with hope. They're two words that should bring confidence and courage in our hearts at this time. And the two words that he used were, but God. He said the enemy had an agenda, but God, he had a plan. You know what Joseph was doing? Joseph was declaring something that you and I need to remind ourselves of today, that God's plan always triumphs over the enemy's agenda. You know, the story of Calvary 2,000 years ago is a story of exactly that. The Bible says that at the point right there where 2,000 years ago on a hill in Calvary, the enemy thought that he'd won his greatest victory when he had Jesus, the Son of God, crucified on a cross. But what the enemy didn't realize was that blood-stained cross would not be a victory for him, but would become the symbol of his greatest defeat. Because what the enemy never saw coming was God's power to take what was meant for evil and turn it for good. The Bible says 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the grave and he came back to life, he had defeated sin, he had overcome death, and he'd made a way for all of us to find salvation and to find life in him. And what Jesus did was prove once and for all that the enemy's agenda must bow its knee to God's plan. In Isaiah 54 verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." 2 Corinthians says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ." I want to encourage you today. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No evil that's come against you will have the final say. The Bible says here to encourage us to give thanks to God in every situation, in every circumstance, because God has promised that he will lead you into victory. God has promised that he will lead you into triumph. And I love what Calvary shows us. The Calvary shows us that the enemy might make the first move, but God has the right of reply. God always has the final say. And you know what I love about God? God loves to flip the script. You know what? We might be thinking, man, it doesn't look like this is going to turn out very good. It might look like right now that this path that I'm on or this situation that I'm up against right now, this does not seem like it's the plan and the purposes of God. But I want to tell you today that God always has the final say. And he loves to flip the script. He's the God who says, I can take what's evil and I can turn it around and I can turn it out for good in your life. I can take what looks like a defeat and I can bring victory out of it. I can take what's been mourning in your life and I'll turn it into joy. You know, I was thinking just this last week, I sometimes have some interesting questions I think about. I was thinking this about God. I wonder if God has like a favorite superhero power. Like I wonder. Because he has all the superhero powers. He's like the Marvel Avengers all in one and then some. He's God Almighty, the Bible says. He's God all powerful. But I was thinking if he had one superhero power that he delights in using above all others, it would have to be this one, that he has the power to turn any situation around, that nothing is impossible for God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. In other words, we can be confident that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I want to encourage you today, maybe you've suffered a setback. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your business right now is up against a wall. Maybe you've taken a knock. Maybe you're disconnected and you're away from family and friends right now. Then I believe this is God's promise to you today. For everyone, he says, who would set their love on him and trust in him, then God will cause all things to work together for good and for his glory. So first thing, when you and I look up, we begin to see God's purposes. Here's the second thing. When we look up, we see God's presence. You know, the Bible speaks of God's presence as being like a gift to us. It says God leads us and God guides us, but he does that by his presence. You know, God doesn't lead us from a distance. He actually leads us up close. He leads us by his presence. That's why in the book of Psalms, probably the most well-known psalm is called Psalm 23, because it speaks of how God leads us. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What the psalmist is saying here is God leads me and guides me by his presence every single day. He's the God who says, "I'm going to walk with you through life. I'm going to step this life out with you a moment by moment and day by day." And the picture of a shepherd, it's a fascinating one. You know, in Australia, we think about shepherds. We don't really have shepherds like they are in the Bible. We more have sheep farmers. And you know about a sheep farmer is this, is most of the sheep farmers that I've seen, they have a dog. And the purpose of that dog is to help bark and bark and bark all around these sheep to drive these sheep in the direction that the shepherd wants them to go. But in the Middle Eastern time, they didn't do it that way. In fact, what happens is the shepherd is he would walk in front of the flock and he would lead the sheep by his voice. And so during the daytime, what would happen is that these sheep, they would follow the shepherd because he was ahead of them. And in the daytime, they could both see him and they could also hear him. But when the sun goes down, something interesting happens in Middle Eastern culture is that the shepherd who was once in front of the sheep, when it becomes dark, when the sun begins to go down, is the shepherd no longer leads from out in front, is the shepherd actually changes his position and moves to the middle of the flock. And instead of leading them out in front, he's right there beside them. And here's what I love about that. As it gets darker, the shepherd moves closer. And so he guides them by his voice now. And the sheep are not afraid because they know that he's near. And I want to encourage you here today that when life seems darkest, God is closest. When it's hard to see the way ahead, and maybe it seems now like things are looking pretty dark, you know what the Bible would encourage you and I to do? Is to fear not, for his presence is there. His voice will guide us and his presence will lead us every single day. And he's the good shepherd. He's right beside you. And he said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." In Psalm 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And I want to remind you today, maybe it feels like now, right now in your life, that you're walking through a dark valley. I want to encourage you today that the darker it gets, the closer God becomes to you and I. The more it seems like we can't see the way ahead, we can trust and be confident that his presence is there to lead us and guide us. Today, God's right beside you, no matter what you're facing. And he's there to walk with you through every valley. And he wants to take you to the other side. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says this, "Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid.'" You know, I love that promise that God makes to us. He says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." You know, when you translate that from the original language into English, we lose the emphasis. This is what it says in the Amplified. It says, "For he himself," that's God, "has said, 'I will not in any way fail you. I will not give you up. I will not leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you.'" And then for good measure, he says, "And assuredly not." I want to tell you this morning, God's got a hold on you and he's not going to let go of you. God's got a grip on your life and he's not about to leave you. God will never fail you. God will never abandon you and God will never let you down. And because God has promised his presence with us, the Bible says, because of that promise, now we can say with confidence, we can say with an assurance that God is my helper and I will not be afraid. You see, when you and I look up, we see God's presence. And here's the third thing. When you and I look up, we see God's provision. In the book of Psalm chapter 37, this is David speaking, and he says these words, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous. They lend freely and their children will be a blessing." You know, David's having a reflective moment. I love how he says, "I was young and now I'm old." he was facing the facts. He's like, I'm old now. And maybe David had gray hair at that point. Maybe David had no hair. Maybe David rocked out a comb over. I'm not sure what it was. But David was saying in this point right here, he's saying, you know what? I have lived a long life. I've followed the Lord since I was a boy. And across that time, I've seen a lot of things. And it's true. David had seen a lot of things. He'd seen war and peace. He'd lived in castles and he'd lived in caves. He'd defeated Goliath and giants, but he'd also been on the run from a lot of enemies as well. He'd experienced times of plenty and he also experienced times where there wasn't. And David's like, I've seen a lot of things over the years, but there's one thing I haven't seen. He says, the one thing I haven't seen is I've never seen the righteous forsaken by God. Not in adversity, not in hardship, not in difficulty. I've never once seen a righteous person forsaken because God was their provider and God was their source. He says, not only have I never seen them forsaken, but I've never seen their children in lack either because God took care of them and he provided for them in every season of life. In fact, David goes on to say, what I've seen is the righteous. In other words, those who have faith in God and follow him. He says they are generous people. They are a source of blessing wherever they go. They give freely. They lend freely. And even their children are a blessing to others. Church, I want to encourage you today, look up because God is your provider in every season. You know, the Bible says God led Israel, a whole nation of people from Egypt into the wilderness where they traveled for 40 years and God provided for his people supernaturally. There was over 3 million of them for 40 years. There was miracle after miracle. He fed them, he watched over them, and he provided for them every day. And here's what we see in that story in the wilderness is this, is God does his greatest miracles in the desert. And he doesn't just want to meet our needs, but I believe that God wants you and I to be a person who overflows with generosity, who overflows with goodness and kindness to everyone that's around us. Because when we look up, we see God's purposes. When we look up, we see God's presence. And when we look up, we can see God's provision. Listen, wherever you are here today, I will know this about God. God would love more than anything else than to connect in relationship with you. He's a God of relationship. He's not a God of religion. He's not a God of rule keeping. He's not a God who says you must perform in order to earn my love and favor. In fact, exactly the opposite. The Bible says that he's a God of love and grace. That means that everything that God wants to give us, God wants to freely give us. What God wants from us is to choose him. What God wants from us is to respond to him. And here this morning, maybe you're listening to this morning. Maybe you're watching this morning. You're saying, I feel like I'm distant. I feel like I'm far away from God. Can I tell you here today, you're never far away from God because you're only ever one step, one moment, one decision. You're just one prayer away from connecting with God, the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who died for you on a cross, and the God who loves you so much that here today, he wants you to experience a brand new life in him. And that's exactly what happens when you and I invite God into our life. We encounter this thing called a new life in him. In the book of Revelation, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone just hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. You say, where's God right now in my life, in this world? Can I say exactly where God is right now? Jesus says, I stand at the door of every person's heart and I'm knocking. And the reason Jesus is knocking is because he wants to come into our life. He wants to come into our life and fill our life with his love, with his grace, with his forgiveness and his goodness. And he says, what you and I need to do is two things. We need to hear his voice and we need to open the door. And when we invite him in, that he will come in and he will transform and change us from the inside out.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.